three Torahs that will help us immensely on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good? Yeah? Resh Pei Dalet. Bottom right hand corner, Resh Pei Dalet. O Yomar, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kuchem. So again, our parsha begins. You're standing here today, all of you. Rasheichem, Shifteichem, Kol Yish Yisrael, Tapchem, Nesheichem. Again, it's a very Rosh Hashanah-dik image, right? Everyone gathered, standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'ovrecha b'bris Hashem Elokecha, uva'ala so, as we're about to commit ourselves to covenant, the bris between us and Hashem, uva'ala so. Allah, again, is a lashon of shvua, that implies, again, an element of curse. If you don't uphold it, there's going to be consequences. Laman hakim v'gomer, v'lo itchem levadchem, ki es asher yashnu po. Okay. A whole description again of Moshe Rabbeinu kind of swearing Klal Yisrael in to the acceptance of Torah. Hinei kvar digdakti, but we already noticed, he said, I mentioned one of the earlier pieces, Madua pasach v'lashon rabim. Why does it start in the plural, atem nitzavim rasheichem? Right, it starts off in the plural, tapchem. And then it concludes, v'lashon yachid, kol ish Yisrael. It starts off with like, you know, everyone is here, and then it starts breaking it down until it says, Kol Yish Yisrael, each individual. So who is Moshe addressing? Is Moshe addressing the Tzibur? Is Moshe really speaking to us as individuals? V'haya lo lomar kol anshi Yisrael. It should have said kol anshi Yisrael, not kol Yish Yisrael. The whole point is the collective Jewish people are standing here. Question number one. Gam ra'oy lahavin. Mahu la'avrecha b'bris. Secondly, what does it mean that you're going to what? La'avrecha b'bris. You're going to pass through this covenant. La'avrecha b'bris. Uperish Rashi adua, kanizkar le'el. V'divrei Torah kepatish yifotzei sel. Rashi has his pshat, but there are many ways to interpret things, and again, we're going to say something more b'derech hasidus than in pshat, what exactly this means. We also need to try to understand what Rashi tells us based on the Medrash. Why, after last week's Tochacha and Kisavo, and all of the curses, and all the scary stuff in last week's Parsha, so why all of a sudden now Atem Nitzavim? So what does Rashi say from the Medrash? He's quoting it here. Lefi Sheshamu Yisrael Mea Klalos Chaser Shtayim. We heard 100 curses minus 2. Okay, 98 curses. In addition, chutz mimeb tes shebetoras kohanim. In addition to what? The 49 curses in Parshas Bechukosai, because there's two, right? Two tochachas in the Torah, one in Kisava, one in Bechukosai. So when the Jewish people heard all these threatening things that Hashem said to them, horiku paneim. What does that mean, horiku paneim? Their faces turned green, you'll say it's the lesson of Yarok, right? Or their faces were drained, they're emptied, or rake. Right? They were like, oh my gosh, we're never gonna survive. There's so many things that can go wrong. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu begins, this is Rashi quoting the Medrash, with a word of chizuk. Hischil Moshe Lefaisa, Moshe begins by appeasing them. Atem nitzavim hayom. Jewish people, look, you're still standing here. You've made it this far. We've done some bad stuff in the past, Moshe says, and somehow we've always found a way to pull through. So don't worry. It's a big responsibility. There are consequences, but you're going to make it. Har behechastim lavakum, you've angered Hashem a lot in the past. V'lo asi itchem kolaya. But Hashem has not destroyed you. So have the confidence, try better, and have the confidence you're going to survive. V're atem kayamim, right? Atem nitzavim ayam. You're still standing here. You've made it this far. So says our Rebbe, the more of a Shemesh, V'adayin bilti muvan ha'pil saza. What exactly is this? How is that mafayis them? How does that help? You've suffered a lot, right? And there's maybe much more suffering to come. But eventually, you know, the Jewish people will survive. But I'm still scared. We just read Parshas Kisavo, read a Holocaust. So Moshe's like, yeah, there may be a Holocaust in the future. But, you know, not going to destroy Klal Yisrael entirely. Kishema kodam shehisru behem b'chol ha'alos ha'ila Adayin lo hayu ru'uyin la'onesh. Masha ein kein acharei shomam haklolos va'af al pichein lo yasimu livam lahem ein zem mala aruka mashalonan shukon lachem. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, well, listen, like, at least to this point we've made it. But so the Jewish people are like, yeah, but we just found out that, like, we're upping the stakes. So you're telling me, we made it through in the past. So, yeah, and therefore what? So therefore we're guaranteed to make it through in the future? Who says? We just heard another huge list of klalos. We just took a bris, we're about to sign the contract of we're stepping up the level of commitment to Hashem. So maybe at this point, maybe there's not so much room to negotiate. You tell me, until this point, we always worked it out. So you should have chizuk to know you're always going to work it out. Maybe not. Maybe the stuff you got away with when you were a kid, you're not going to get away with when you're an adult. Maybe there's more accountability. So Moshe Rabbeinu's response that, well, you know, until now, it's nothing. Okay, but now we were just swarmed with all of these curses and all of this responsibility. Now we're all here. As we learned to the Ramban 2 weeks ago, now you know all the Torah. Right? Now it's time to take it upon yourself with a greater degree of responsibility, of commitment. We've already been sworn in, but now we're being sworn in again, like we learned yesterday in the Ramban. Shemayim and Aretz are signing the document at the bottom. Like, no backsies. So Moshe's like, yeah, you've been fine until now. I'm sure you'll be fine. I don't know. Who says? Maybe we didn't get punished prior, but maybe things are about to change. Vayera el lomar. So perhaps we could say the following. Shemosh Rabbeinu alav shalom nasan lahem eitza. Moshe was giving us advice. Eich inzalu leval yachol aleihem ha'alos ha'ele. Moshe says, Chevra, I know it's a lot, I know it's overwhelming, but let me give you a technique that these curses should not yachol aleihem, should not be relevant to you. They should not take place upon you. Chal, take effect. Shaloy leval yachol aleihem ha'alos ha'ela. These alos, these curses, this weighty responsibility should not be damaging to you. Ki be'emes be'im chas v'shalom hayu chalin miyad kishein Yisrael osir mitzono shal makom baruchu hayakasha ma'od liskayim b'pneim. Because again, if this was to take place right away, if this was to take effect immediately, then you're right, it would be very difficult for us to survive. Al kein nicham osa Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to calm them down, to appease them. Umata lahem rifos ta'ala umezor trufa lemechza ulemistor. Bifnei ha'klalos eila. Poetically, he says, Moshe offered us a medicine, right? A salve, a bandage, a way to hide ourselves, to shield ourselves from these klalos, from the start, to protect ourselves, that they should never come upon us. V'hu, ki ikar ha'tris bifnei ha'paranos. What's a tris? A shield. The main shield, right? To protect yourself from any type of punishment, hu ha'ava v'ha'achdos. Because really, we have a rule. Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. That rule is non-negotiable. So part of the question is, do I see myself as part of Klal Yisrael? Do I see myself as part of the Jewish people? Do I join in with the experience of the Jewish people? When the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva talks about, you know, who's considered a min, who's considered an apikores, one of the examples the Rambam gives of a person who's a heretic, who's an outsider, is a person who doesn't feel the pain of Klal Yisrael. I mean, a person whose life is going fine, and then he hears, like, something bad happened to a Jew he never met, and he's like, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't feel it deeply. He's not connected to Klal Yisrael. So you want to operate as a Yachid? Okay, well, as a Yachid, let's see what happens to you. If you're part of the Tzibur can't die. So the Gemara says in several places, in the context of Karbanos even, a Karban Tzibur, what happens if someone's supposed to bring a Karban and then they die? What happens to the animal? The Tzibur never dies. The Klal can't be killed. So one of the best ways to protect myself, right, is to really become a part of the Tzibur. To attach myself, like he says, the greatest shield the greatest way to protect yourself is to be part of the tzibur, with the Ava and Achdus to Klal Yisrael. V'kasher yesh v'Yisrael Ava v'Achdus v'Reyus v'ein zel lezeh, when the Jewish people are working together, ein makom l'shum peranios l'chol aleihem. There's no room for punishment to come upon them. K'maymer ha'kosav, like the pasuk says in Hosea, chabur atzabim, Ephraim. Ephraim, Jewish people, are chabur atzabim, are connected, chibur, they're connected to atzabim, idols. The Jewish people are deeply connected to idols. Hanachlo, leave him be, leave him alone. So Rashi says in the pasuk in Hosea, saying the Navi's essentially saying, you know, I'm wasting my breath trying to get the Jews to do tshuva because they're addicted to idols. So Hanachlo, don't bother with him. He's not open to hearing the message and changing his ways. But on a deeper level, part of what this pasuk means is Chabur atzabim Ephraim Hanachlo shebeuro sheafilu be'im heim chas v'shalom ovdei avodah zarah. If the Jewish people are attached to idols. But there's also a sense of chibur amongst the people. V'yesh b'neim hischabrus b'li pirud levavos. And there are many, many mamari chazal that say this idea. Right? Sinas chinam is the reason we're in this gullus that we're in right now. Period. It's not just, you know, how good am I as an individual. It's about a united Klal Yisrael. So Chazal say, if you worship Avodah Zarah, but you work together, that's true. The Chazal say that even for non-Jews. Chazal say that even by the Migdal Bavel, the Dor HaFlata, there was a sense of unity. They were working together to wage war against God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you know, it's a very powerful thing when people work together. So Hashem did what? Hashem caused them to all, you know, have different languages, and Hashem caused them to separate from each other as a way of responding to them. Because Achdus is a very powerful thing. Working together is a powerful thing. So when there's a Hischabrus B'li Pirud Levavos, when the Jewish people come together, Heim Shoktim V'Nachim Be'ein Satan U'Pegara. So Chabur Atzabim Ephraim, that even when there's Avodah Zarah, but there's a sense of Chibur, the Jews are united in worshipping Avodah Zarah, Hanachlo, leave him alone, don't punish him. What does a parent want? Let's think about it from a parent's perspective. What does a parent want for their children? The parent may have a lot of different aspirations for each of their children, how they, you know, want them to be, how they want them to live. Maybe the parent has a certain hashkafa that they want their child to embody. Maybe a parent has a certain professional trajectory that they have in mind educationally for their child. Right? But really, more than anything, what do parents want when they think about their children as a collective? They want the kids to get along. There's nothing more upsetting for a parent than two siblings don't talk to each other anymore. I don't care that you're a big Talmud Chacham. I don't care that you're a neurosurgeon. You're both very successful individuals. You don't talk to each other. That's the most broken thing. So Hashem says, and Moshe is giving us this advice, if you want, again, to spare yourself from what? From all the potential klalos. If you want to be left alone from the Satan Upegara, the way to do it is to what? Is to attach yourself to other Jews. And that's why the Yom Ram is such a time. On the one hand, it's again, there's a very mixed message in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On the one hand, there's this notion of every person passing before Hashem single file. But there's also this notion, as it says explicitly in the Mishnah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world b'skira achas, with one glance. Meaning there's this very like collective experience and there's this very personal individual experience. And it's really important to be sensitive to both of those components. Like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, don't be so frum that when you're putting on your talis, you know, on Yom Kippur, right, and you're wrapping yourself in your talis to be wrapped up with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't be so frum that when you're putting on your talis, you swing your talis over your shoulder and you smack the guy behind you with your tzitzit strings. Realize there's other people. Be sensitive to the people around you and attach yourself to them. Realize as a team, Klal Yisrael have always been the best when we work together. Yeah.
So, this works really well with the construction of the second Beit HaMikdash, but the construction of the first Beit HaMikdash was more because of the there's a Mako
Azeroth. Right.
So, and I mean...
And that's why we were able to get out of that mess quicker. Because when there's a Pagam Ben Adam L'Chavero, it's sometimes harder to fix it. Hashem is more willing to forgive. Hashem says, okay, you know, you messed up with me, so do. But now you have to reconcile with other people, and sometimes our own, you know, our own sense of self doesn't allow us to forgive other human beings. Or we're too embarrassed to. It's easier to talk to Hashem. Sorry, I have to go over to this guy and apologize. It's very uncomfortable. So, okay, that's 2,000 years of galus. Yeah.
Is there a connection between Memta Shari Tuma and Memta Klaus?
Memta Klaus? Probably. 49 is definitely a significant number. Right. And here we have 98, which is 2 times 49. So there's definitely what to think about there. I'm sure. Okay, so let's come back now to our pasuk. V'zeo amru atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, like the Medrash told us, that the Jewish people, they're terrified. They just heard about what could happen to them. So Moshe says, let me give you some advice, chevra. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Be a person who's not so selfish, who thinks about others, who's part of a tzibur. Even though you heard all these curses as part of this covenant, as mentioned above, in the previous book, the psukim, afal pichein tiyu nitzavim. You have the ability to stand. V'tiya lechem tekuma al yedei sherasheichem v'shifteichem ziknechem v'shotreichem kol ish Yisrael. That's the advice. It's not just mentioning, Moshe's like, you know, calling everyone out, pointing out who happens to be in the crowd today. Oh, I see we have some rasheichem, some ziknechem, tapchem, we got some children over here, we have some women over there, very nice. Moshe's like taking attendance. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you want to know how you're nitzavim? You don't know the ticket to be able to survive? It's dafka that the rasheichem, and the shofteichem, and the ziknechem, and the shotreichem, all these different, you know, groups, people who might associate themselves as being more like this or more like that, kol ish Yisrael. That's the punchline. Shu kulam b'lev echad uva'ava. Haroshim v'zakeidim v'chol Yisrael ki ish echad. That's what it means, kol ish Yisrael. V'zeu kol perish kulam yu ish Yisrael. That everyone should be what? Hainu ki ish echad. That's why it goes from the plural to the singular. Again, the plural represents sort of the plurality of all the different types. But the goal is that, Moshe says, become kol ish Yisrael. Right? Well, how do I define myself? Right? This type of Jew, I'm that type of Jew. Right? Yeshivish, I'm Chassidish, I'm not Orthodox, I'm this, I'm that. What's the common denominator? Yisrael. Yisrael. That's what I am. I'm a Yid. I'm a Jew. Period. I'm a Jew. I do this all the time to people. People always get annoyed when I do this. People always think I'm Lubavitch because I have a long beard. And my hat that I wear on Shabbos is a little bit small, so they think I'm Lubavitch. So when I meet like random people, they're always, Chabad? You Chabad? No. Pashut Yid. Yisrael? No. Like, really, but what are you? What are you? I'm a Jew. What do you mean? Why do I have to... Labels are helpful. Rav Kook said all these labels, they just make mess in the way things are supposed to be. What do you need all these labels for? Why do I have to start isolating myself from other people? I'm this, but I'm not that. Why can't I just be a Jew? I'm a mix of a lot of things. I don't know. That's so terrible. Be respectful of other people. Kol ish yisrael. Kulam ish yisrael. Ki ish echad. And then, so now we have to keep going. So what does the pasuk say? V'zeu amru la'avrecha berbris Hashem lokechu v'al aso. Shall yidei his chabris, that through this sense of connection, tuchal la'avor bein kol ha'alos. La'avor means what? What does it mean that they're going to be la'avarcha bebris? Right? The pashas means like we're entering into this covenant. But la'avor also means to what? To kind of pass over. In other words, if a person wants to get through this, you want to be able to make it through this promise, this covenant. You want to be able to survive Allah so all of these curses that through the hischabris tuchol la'avor bein kol ha'alos. You're able to circumvent all of the curses. V'lo yegiu adecha klav, v'lo yaziku lecha. They won't reach you and they won't harm you. Laman hakimoscha hayom lo la'am. Because Hashem looks at you and says, ah, this is an Am Yisrael. Perish. Shayidei kein tiyah lecha tekuma, shetinatzom mikol mine pranos. When you're part of a tzibor, when you're part of the Am, like I told you, the tzibor can't die. The tzibor is guaranteed to survive. Sfasemis writes in his writings on Purim that this was Haman's failure. Sfasemis has an amazing piece at the beginning of his writings on Purim. He says, what did Haman want to do? Same thing Hitler's Yimach Shemus failure. What did Haman set his sights on? He wanted to what? To destroy every single Jew. Impossible. Klal Yisrael, Tzibur, the entity of Klal Yisrael, cannot be destroyed. So Sfasemes says a really wild idea. It's implied from the Sfasemes that had Haman decided to destroy 50% of Klal Yisrael, he might have been Matzliach. Could have been successful. We were in bad shape, so maybe we deserve to be 50% annihilated. If he would have gone for 75%, could have been successful. But since Haman declared what? I want every single Jew, lahashmid, laharog, la'abid. I want every single Jew, man, woman, and child. So Hashem says, you're asking for something impossible, and you know what you're going to get instead? Nothing. You're not going to get anything. The Jews are going to win the war. You're not going to get 5%, you're not going to get 10%, you're not going to get 50%. If you would have taken 50%, right? So then maybe you would have been successful, but because you went for something impossible, you got nothing. And that's why after we read the Megillah, there's a line that we say in the Tfilos. We say, poor Haman, right? We say Shoshanis Yaakov, there's a little paragraph we say there, Asherheni, and Hashem overturned the Atzas Rasham. One of the lines there is, poor Haman, nehapach lipurenu. Haman's lottery became our lottery. What does that mean, Haman's lottery became our lottery? Haman's lottery was the scariest thing ever. The answer is no. Because Haman decided, in casting his lots, the day that he was going to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. So Dafka, because he did something even scarier, it worked out so much better for us. You understand? If the word would have gotten out that Haman's going to kill he's setting his sights on killing 10% of Klal Yisrael. So he would have said, okay, it's terrifying, but it's only 10%. But when we heard Haman wants 100%, that was the scariest thing ever. And in the truth, no, it wasn't. That was the safest thing ever, because you can't destroy Klal Yisrael. That actually saved us. Right? That's the Bina Hafachu of Purim. Okay? So the key to survival is being part of a tzibur. Atem nitzavim ayom, you want to be nitzavim? So then the rasheichem, the shifteichem, all the groups have to become kol ish Yisrael. It has to be a sense of achdus. V'lo yitchem, v'achar kachamar, v'lo yitchem levadchem, anochi koreis esabris. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, and not only with you is this covenant being sealed. Perish. Shelo ledoro shel Moshe levad, shayu gedole ha'erech. That maybe you'll say, well, such a great generation, that generation that stood in Har Sinai, that generation that was going to come to Eretz Yisrael, that generation that saw open miracles, that generation, you might think, that generation was gedole erech, people of great value. Huftach davar zeli, natzam mikol ra'al yedei eschabrus. You might think, for that generation, the things they went through together, maybe it's easier for them to stick together. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Ki es asher yashnu po, ve'es asher einenu po. This is advice for all of history. I'm not only making this offer to those who are present today. Shafilu kol hadoros habayim, huftach lahem davar zeh. That all future generations chavar are being offered the same opportunity. To what? La'avur bichol alos habris. To pass over all of these curses. V'shelo yareyu lahem. That it shouldn't harm them at all. Al yedei ha'achdus v'schabrus, shiyeh b'neihem v'kal lahavim. And this is a very easy idea to understand. Maybe harder to practice, but easy to understand. Okay, b'chavar, this is really, it's not by chance. Again, this is a yisod gadol for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Be part of a tzibur. Be part of a tzibur. Right? You're much better. The tefillah of a tzibur is never rejected, the Gemara says. If you daven by yourself, if you daven without a minion, so then it's you. It's your merit. That's all you've got. And you're part of a tzibur. You come with this chus of the whole tzibur. Right? So it's an important thing to really feel connected to Klal Yisrael. As much as these days are such personal days of my own judgment, it's so important to be part of the Jewish people. Okay, yeah.
What does it mean by joining Tzibor? When you're
davening? It means practically be a part of a Tzibor, yeah. Go to Minyan. right? At Aleph, go to Minyan. But B, but feel connected to the Tzibur. In other words, look around. You're going to be davening in some shul, somewhere, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Look around. Look around at the other people in the room. Think for a second. What do these people need? Am I only davening for myself? And even if I don't know the people in the room so well, am I thinking about Klal Yisrael? Am I thinking about the state of the Jewish people? I'm negotiating for my own life. Right? But am I thinking about the Jewish people? Am I davening for the protection of the Jewish people? Am I thinking about Jews who I don't know even? Do I see myself as part of something bigger than myself? Or is it just, you know, me trying to get through whatever happens to everyone else's, you know, I got my own problems, I don't have time for everyone else's problems. So that's part of the emotional state of being part of a tzibur, yeah. Could be. Could be. You want to be part of a tzibur that feels like a real tzibur? Yeah. I guess that's a thing.
So would that be an excuse to, like, you know, like, have, like, a code that you, like, million different meanings in them? So, like, can you just, is that, like, what's better, saying, like,
what's the idea of the pasuk?
Or be in the better as well?
It's a good question. The pasuk says, Berov Am Hadras Melech. But the honor of the king is Berov Am. The more people, the better. Hashem likes big crowds of Jews. Right? Better than being part of some small, exclusive tzibur. Again, maybe there's a mila there because the people there are very connected to each other. But at the end of the day, Hashem looks at all of Klal Yisrael, all of His children. And again, you don't have to necessarily be davening with someone to be connected to them. I'd like to daven for all of you on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if I'll be with any of you on Rosh Hashanah. I'll be thinking about you. I hope you'll think about me. So that's part of being part of the tzibur, is just getting out of your own little narrow, you know, viewpoint. You're davening for yourself. I want to have spiritual success, and I want to have physical success, and this year I want to find this shit up, and this year I want to get the job, and this year I want to be blessed with this or that. Okay, but attach yourself emotionally to the Jewish people. Yeah, but no.
So then what's the balance to be had with that?
No, so it has to be right. It has to be the balance. The simple answer to a not so simple question is, you know, it's Pirkei Avos. Ein ani li mi li. Right? If I don't take care of myself, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Ukisha ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I'm only for myself, then what am I? So you have to figure out what that balance is. Of course, you have to daven for yourself in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right. And again, and the, what I'm trying to tell you is that the Gemara and the Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah paint this picture in a very clear way, that it's both. On the one hand, Hashem judges the whole world b'skira achas, with one glance. At the same time, over in Lefanav of Kibdei Maron, we pass before Hashem single file. So there's like this collective, you know, responsibility, and then there's this very personal, right? Because again, you could ignore yourself in the tshuva process and just like focus on such big global issues that you never actually have an honest conversation with Hashem. So you have to bring your true self before Hashem also. Right? But you also can't be so obsessed with, you know, your own fate that you become disconnected from Klal Yisrael. Yeah, from Jack.
I think there's a lot more potential to this idea that we're not like exposing ourselves to. We're kind of limiting ourselves in the space of davening or just being like in the same room as a lot right. of Jews or whatever, but I think in general being part, without putting the labels on ourselves, I think being part of just Klal Yisrael, meaning if you're wherever you are and you see Jews and like you can give a hand or like you can right. like share insight to somebody in business who's a fellow Jew or something or
right.
just certain things of just being part of the Klal of Am Yisrael as a whole and not just
right, not oh, just right. in davening.
Davening with 10 Jews or 40 Jews or whatever
right.
it is.
Right. Right. It could be the thoughtfulness to, you know, to if you're buying products, to buy it from a Jewish seller. Right. Or it could be helping someone get the job. It could be right. It could be looking out for a fellow Jew or, you know, wherever it may be. Yeah. But that's that sense of Kol Yisrael. And again, that's really the Pashup Shad of what this bris is. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah doesn't only mean I can make Kiddush and you can listen and then you're Yotze. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah means when I see a Jew, I feel that's my brother. That's my, it's hard. And sometimes, you know, again, because of certain cultural groups, we feel, you know, more connected to certain types of Jews, or more distant from certain types of Jews. I like these types of Jews. I don't like these types of Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, but then you're facing the threat of all of these things. If you want to avrucha bebris of alos, if you want to be able to make it through, kol ish yisrael. We're all defined by one name, yisrael. Yeah. Correct. Right, Rashi brings down a chumash. If you want something and you need something, and you know someone else who needs it, so if you daven for the other person, you'll be answered first. But otherwise, by putting someone else first, it's not like a trick. By putting someone else first, Hashem says, I'll take care of you. If you sacrifice yourself for someone else, Hashem takes care of you. I'll tell you two quick insights, just very quickly, from the human body that highlight this yesod. Very interesting question I saw once in a sefer. Why is it that our heart is positioned on the left? Oh, it's more towards the middle, but it's more left than right. Why is my heart on the left side? We know in Yiddishkeit, the right side is always given the dominance. Right? So for most people, the right hand is the stronger hand. The side of chesed overpowers the side of din, the left side. You would think that the heart, the lev, Lara says, Rahmana liba bai, Hashem desires the heart. You would think you'd put the heart, if it's such a holy part of a person, if it's Kodesh Kadashim, you would think your heart should be on the right side. Why is your heart on the left? So I once saw, because my heart is not really, it's not about me. My heart's for you. My heart on my left is on your right. When we're facing each other. My heart on my left side is on your right. That's Hashem's way of saying, I didn't give you your heart for yourself. Give your heart to give to others. It's an incredible idea. Simple idea, but such a deep idea. Shem gave you your heart on the left side, because it's not my left, it's not about me. It's turned outwards towards the world, to the right of the person who I'm facing. Another idea. Another interesting idea. Just to show you how it's woven, again, it's woven even into the physicality of the Jew, the basar of a person, the flesh of a person. All the more so, the neshama of a Jew has to be connected to Nishmas Yisrael, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Like some people say before they do a mitzvah, you know? Doing this mitzvah, b'shem kol yisrael. Doing it on behalf of the Jew who may not be doing this mitzvah. I'm thinking about him. Thinking, as I put on my tefillin, I'm thinking about the Jew who's not putting on tefillin. Or I'm trying to attach myself to other Jews who are putting on tefillin so that we can put it on together. To uplift each other. How do you say the pupil of the eye in Hebrew? And you know what it's called? David HaMelech says, watch over me, protect me, ki ishon bat ayin. Ishon. Aleph Yud Shin Vav Nun. I think it's Tehillim Perek Yitzayim. The Radak on that pasuk explains that in Hebrew, whenever you have a Vav Nun at the end of a word, it means a miniature or a small, a diminutive expression of that idea. So the pupil of the eye is called an Ishon, which means like a miniature man. Why is that pupil of the eye an Ishon, Aleph Yud Shin Vav Nun? Of Nun means a miniature version of something, a small version of something. Why is the pupil of the eye called the Nishon? Because if you look into someone's eyes, you see a reflection of what? Of yourself, a miniature reflection, Nishon. Interesting. So I think it was Mordechai Gifter's Atzal who said, why did Hashem make it that way? Because when I'm standing talking to a person, talking to my friend Jordan, and we're looking at each other face to face, and I'm really communicating with him, and I look into his eyes, right? And what do I see? I see a little miniature of Moshe Tzvi in Jordan's eyes. So what am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to think? I'm supposed to think. There's a big him and a little small me. Right? What do I see when I'm talking to another person? How do I carry myself? I'm big and he's small. I look at another person as a small person. Or I look at myself and I see, if I'm really talking to the person, I'm really looking at the person, I see a small version of myself and a much bigger version of the other person. So that's like the Morav Shemesh told us our first week. Right? Try to see the mailas of your friend. Try to look at someone else and say, wow, I could learn so much from this person. The way he davens, the way he learns, the way he talks to people. Right? The way he holds the door for the person behind him. You know, the little things you try to learn from another person's midos and their avoda. And you try to be inspired by that, not to carry yourself as a big shot. but have the humility to make more space for others than yourself. Very powerful idea. Yeah?
Do you have another example of that concept?
Shabbaton. It means a miniature form of Shabbos. Something that is Shabbos-like. Shabbos is actually the highest holiday. Okay? Big shock. What's on a higher level? Yom Kippur or Shabbos? Shabbos, actually. Shabbos, in a certain sense, is higher than Yom Kippur. Every Shabbos is higher than Yom Kippur. The penalty for violating Shabbos is more severe than violating Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. Right? It's Shabbos-like. It's a Shabbos-like. But there's other examples of...
Nisayon.
Interesting. Yeah. Vavnun. That's the rule by Vavnun. There's other examples. But Vavnun means a small version. It's interesting. There's interesting drushes to say about the name Nachshon. Right? Nachshon is Nachash Vavnun. What does that mean? There's interesting things, but that's the rule about Vavnun. It's the Radak and Tehillim Perek and Zayin. Yeah.
Two things. One, on the first paragraph, there is that Rosh Tevos Shem Bet Tafat.
I don't think I have it.
After, it was talking about the 100 Palo Chaser Bet plus Mem Tet blank.
Chutz mean mem te. Oh, should be Torah's Kohanim?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I have it. Sorry, I have it written out open here in my edition.
Okay, and the second thing?
Meaning the 49 curses in Bechukosai, in Vayikra.
Got it. And then the second thing on the Bible, it also adds, I think, to the seeing yourself in someone else, and also adds to the.
Right.
The Hitzchavrus.
Right. That sense of Kol Yisrael Aviv Zal Lazeh, there's a little bit of me inside of you, and a little bit of you inside of me. That's right. Okay, friends, let's try one more piece. Yeah, probably one more piece. Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, VaNiglos Lanu LeVaneinu. Turn a couple pages. Reish Pei, Tes in the bottom corner. This is a beautiful Torah. This is also very, very Rosh Hashanah-dik. Okay? Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu VaNiglos Lanu LeVaneinu Ad Olam LaAsos is called Divrei HaTorah Zos. So we already learned yesterday in the Ramban. What did we learn? Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu. Right? So some explain, Rashi and Ibn Ezra explain, Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu means what? That I don't have to take accountability for your aveiros that you do in private because I don't know about them. That's Hashem's. We'll deal with it. But if I see you doing something wrong openly, I have to rebuke you. That was Rashi and Ibn Ezra. What did the Ramban say? Sometimes I do an aveira and I myself don't even know what I'm doing wrong. So Hashem, please go easy on me for the things that I don't know and hold me accountable for the things that I could know better, I do know better. Okay? But says the Mo'or V'Shemesh, Yere'eh HaPerish. It seems to me that the explanation is the following. On the Pasuk, Lecha Dumiya Sihila, Shomea Tfila Adecha Kol Basar Yavo. Lecha, to you, Hashem, Dumiya Sihila. Silence is praise. To you, silence is praise. Perusho, Kine Yadua Lechol Oved Hashem. Because it says the Mor V'Shemesh, let's be honest. You could have the fattest machzer in the world in Rosh Hashanah. You could add every piyut. You could add everything. You could say, I'm going to say all of Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah, in addition to saying the whole Machzer. You could daven. But any honest person knows, any Oved Hashem knows, She'ilu finu male shira kayam. If I were to open my mouth and sing praises to Hashem now and forever, as expansive as the sea, Ein anu maspikin lahodos al achas me elef alfe alafim. There is no way, it's not humanly possible, to thank Hashem for everything that Hashem has done for us. I don't care if you think you've had the best life or you think you've had the most difficult life. I'm not making light of those who've suffered. We've all suffered in different ways. And we've all had challenges in different ways. But now, until forever, you could not thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no words that you could find to thank Hashem for the gift of existing. You know how incredible it is that you're alive right now? You know how incredible it is that you're a Jew right now? You know how lucky you are you're an Orthodox Jew who's in yeshiva, who's learning Torah right now? There's no words. There's no words that you could say to express in a honest, heartfelt, and complete way the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you. Not even one millionth of it. Gam mi yisane toikef tilosov. And furthermore, who has the strength, who has the ability to, again, to utter your praises? Shafilu mishar se elyon asher yesh lahem kama roshin uvachol rosh elef pios kamuva v'medrash. Even the angels above, that have, some of them have, angels have thousands of mouths, whatever these things are describing. Even for the angels, ein vasfikin lomar k'tzas mitilosa. The Pamalia Shalmal, the heavenly hosts that are singing praise to Hashem all day, they can't finish either. So certainly not a puny basar v'dam like ourselves. We're not going to be able to, there's no way we could properly find the words to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that He has done for us. Have a think about that for a second. Honestly, daven over that for a second, in a real way. Think about the gift of just existing. Think about how lucky we are to be here in this place right now, in this moment. And therefore, what? If I can't say it with my words, right, I can try to what? V'ikr avdas Hashem v'tilaso hu b'lev. I could talk from now until forever, and I'm still not going to say enough. Right? But I could try to what? I could try to feel it. And again, this is also impossible. But at least it's acknowledging I don't have the words. I don't have enough words to thank you, Hashem. I could try to praise you from what? From the depths of my heart. It's a beautiful line. Much more than the mouth is able to say, the heart is able to think, to contemplate, to feel. Talk is cheap. Shamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Nu, what's the next one? Dibarnu Dofi, I said a lot of things that I didn't really mean. So I could say, but now and forever. The bottom line is, do I really feel it in my heart? More than the mouth is able to say, the heart is able to really express what you feel. I'm numb, but, so there for what? So I'm never going to daven. Never going to talk to Hashem, because I can't get the right words. Nonetheless, there's an accountability, there's responsibility to what? To try to organize my speech, to try to say the right things. That's why the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did us a favor. They wrote us a Shmoneh Esrei because they didn't trust us to find the right words. They gave us a framework to have the conversation. And more than that, he says, to be able to teach other people. Because if I never open my mouth in praise of Hashem, so then the guy next to me who doesn't know a lot about Hashem never hears about God. If I just sit in my corner and think about how much I'm thankful to Hashem, if I never express it publicly, so I deny someone else the opportunity to learn about it. Because if I only serve Hashem in my heart, lo ya nikar abdus kazel zulaso, sheyuchol lilmod mimenu. Then I'm not able to express, to display my commitment to Hashem, to Zulaso, to someone else, that he should be able to learn from it. Al-Kain min ha-tzorach lilmod ulispal el-bepeh. That's why it's so important to daven out loud, to learn out loud, to let someone else hear those words, let it enter their ears, let it enter their heart. B'chdei sheyikhu musar habayim l'shmava. That those who hear will hopefully take it to heart. When you try in a heartfelt way. When you're standing next to someone who's davening with kavana, it makes you want to daven more with kavana. When you see the way that someone else is sitting and learning and trying to really understand, right, so it inspires you to want to understand. Kein yasu gamhim. They will want to follow you. And that's what it means. Now we understand pshat of the pasuk. Beautiful pshat of the pasuk. V'zeu perish, l'cha dumya tehila, really what? L'cha dumya tehila, really what? To you, silence is praise. In other words, Hashem, I have to admit, says David HaMelech, I don't really know how to say what I want to say to you, Hashem. It's very hard to get the right words. Perish ikr ti lascha hu bidum yo machshava. The main way to let you know how I'm feeling is in silence and with my thoughts, with my feelings. But shomeya tefila, but Hashem, listen to my tefilos. Well, why? So Hashem says back to you, so then why are you talking? If you acknowledge that you don't have the right words, so why are you even talking at all? Why are you saying anything? Shomeya tefila Hashem. You know why I'm saying the words? Perish. Masha tefila nishmas vipi avdei Hashem b'nei Yisrael. That which the words are actually coming out of my mouth, hu laman is to fulfill the end of the pasuk. Adecha kol basar yavo. Because I want other people, I want kol basar, I want everyone to know about you, Hashem. La'avducha be'emes, shiyel lehem mimal lilmod avdus Hashem. If I just sit in the corner thinking by myself, so that no one else can learn from it. Chaver, what's the halacha when it comes to birchas haTorah? Do you make birchas haTorah just for thinking Torah? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. The Vilna Gaon says yes. The Vilna Gaon says thinking Torah is also fulfillment of learning Torah, so you make birchas haTorah. V'hagisa bo yom v'layla means contemplate it day and night. But the Shulchan Aruch says you don't make a bracha just by thinking. If you're just thinking Torah, you don't make a bracha. What if I'm writing Divrei Torah? What if I get up in the morning and I want to write down? I'm not saying anything out loud. I'm listening to a shir and I'm writing it down. Or I'm reading a sefer and I'm writing down my notes, my insights. Do you make Birchas haTorah for writing Torah?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? So Soloveitchik explained, because the essence of Limud Torah is what?
You're bringing it into the world.
Is Lilmod Ulalavit. Am I learning in a way that I'm also teaching? When the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Rambam says, I think it's mitzvah Yod Aleph, in the Minyan HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, Lilmod Ulalamim. The fullest fulfillment of Torah is not just studying for yourself, but it's teaching Torah. Lilmod Ulalamim. So if I'm just thinking Torah to myself, it's not a full fulfillment of Limud Torah. You know why? Because no one else can learn from my thoughts. But if I'm writing Torah, that someone else can read my notes, and then someone else can be inspired by it. So that's a full kiyum of Talmud Torah, and therefore you say Birchas haTorah. So David HaMelech says, such a beautiful pasuk, L'chad dum yatihi la'Hashem, really, I don't have the words to say anything, but shomeya tefila, that which you hear my prayers, adecha kol basar yavo'u, is to inspire all others to want to join in as well. Again, that sense of communal responsibility like we learned in the first piece. So now we understand the pshat of the pasuk. What's the pshat of the pasuk? Hadistaros laHashem Elokeinu. Perush. Avdus Hashem ra'ui shetiya behester shu b'machshava. Really, hanistaros laHashem Elokeinu. Really, to be with Hashem should take place what? It's a very private experience. It's nistar. I don't have the words. I can't really explain it to anyone else. It should take place in the private recesses of my heart. So why is it that I practice my Judaism openly? If any superficial expression of how I'm feeling about Hashem is never going to really capture the depths of my connection to Hashem. V'haniglos peirush v'pnei zeh haTorah v'hatfila hi behizgalos. If you wonder, why do I learn out loud? Why don't I just sit in my room? Why do I go to the base medrash? Why do I learn in public? Why do I share an idea with someone else? If I can't really capture the full feeling that I have, why do I daven out loud? Why can't I just sit by myself? The answer is the end of the pasuk. Lanu ulevaneinu ad olam lasos is called divrei haTorah zos. It's because I want my children and my grandchildren, I want my friends and I want my neighbors, and I want everyone else to also want to be mekayim this Torah. Heirish sheyilmedu baneinu la'avod Hashem. That those around me should be inspired to serve Hashem also. V'lasos kol mitzvosam. V'lahagos b'torasam. When I see my friend learning, right? So I also feel I want to learn. I want to connect to that. She'i efshar lilmod zeh b'machshava sulasa. You could not learn this from someone else's mind. Ki'im me'nira mitfilaso hazaka v'lima torasam. But rather, through the appearance of his pure tefillah and his heartfelt Limud Torah, it inspires others to join in as well. Okay, so again, it's that duality of, on the one hand, being alone with Hashem, the private relationship that we each have with Hashem, and the communal responsibility. So what? To try to be someone who's sharing Torah, who's davening in a way that other people around me want to daven like me. They hear the way I talk about Hashem. Right? They hear the way that I infuse my language with godly speech, so then other people want to join in. Seder. Okay, I wanted to do a third piece. I'm not going to do it now just because the hour is late. But I'll just tell it to you for 2 seconds. If you turn turn maybe a page or two. Vohusircha Hashem Elokecha b'chol masi yadecha v'pri vitnecha. It's also just very Rosh Hashanah dik, so I have to just give it. I'll give it over to you literally Baal Peh for just 2 minutes. Vohusircha Hashem Elokecha b'chol masi yadecha. Reish Tzadi Beis? The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hosircha. Hashem will give you yoter v'yoter. Hashem will give you more and more. Hashem will give you an abundance. B'chol masi yadecha. In all of your activities, you'll have great success. B'fri bitnecha. You'll be blessed with children. You'll be blessed with parnasa. The pesukim go on and on, describing how Hashem is going to shower you with abundance. So he says, there's another way to learn the word v'hosircha. Hosircha means an abundance. Hashem will bless you with an abundance. He says, we find stories of people, like it says about Rus. It says that when Boaz gave Rus a little bit of food, it lasted in a miraculous way. It lasted in a miraculous way. It filled her up in a way that it should not have. There was a bracha, shruya b'me'el shel tzadekas. But there was like a blessing in her innards. That a little bit of food carried her for a long time. Or you find the story in Malachim Beis. You find the story of the wife of Avadya who comes to Elisha and says, my husband died. My children are going to be taken into captivity as slaves because I owe money to someone and I can't pay. So he says to her, go get all sorts of vessels and I'll make abundance for you. And he does. He does this crazy thing and makes these vessels filled with oil. And he says, there's going to be so much oil, you'll be able to pay off all your debts. And you'll be able to survive off of the nosar, off of that which is that which remains. The extra. So he says, the Rebbe says that, how do I look at the bracha in my life? Do I feel that I deserve the bracha that I have? Or is everything that I have in life hosircha? Is everything more than I deserve? Do I feel entitled to the bracha that Hashem gives me? Or do I really feel that everything that I have is a matnas chinam? And he says, to the degree that a person feels that everything is hosircha, that everything is extra, abundant, more than I deserve, that opens the channels of shefa for a person. So he says, hosircha Hashem, if I consider im tachshov lemosros kol ma shachonein Hashem oscha, if I come to Rosh Hashanah, and I'll end by going back to something Yoni and I were talking about the other day, because I promised Yoni for 2 days now, I mentioned this. Right? What am I supposed to daven for in Rosh Hashanah? Am I allowed to ask for things in Rosh Hashanah? On Shabbos, I'm not supposed to daven. I don't make bakashos on Shabbos. I make bakashos. What are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? The Zohar says, God forbid to be like a person who shows up on Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says, and starts asking Hashem, give me this, give me that. Hav, hav. The Zohar says, you sound like a dog. It sounds like a barking dog. Hav, hav. Hav in Aramaic means give. Give me this, give me that. I just want to take. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, crowning Hashem as king over the world, not having the words to be able to say thank you enough, right? Acknowledging that Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu, my heart is exploding with feelings for you, Hashem, and I wish I had the right words to say it. That's part of the reason we're crying with the shofar. After all the tefillos are said and done, I don't really know what to say, so I just scream, grab a shofar, and I cry out through the sound of the shofar. So when I show up on Rosh Hashanah and I start just saying, give me this, give me that, I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Like a barking dog. Right? What we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah is to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the universe. But we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So tzaddikim say the first day is a day, practically, to really what? To not daven for ourselves, to not ask for things. And if we are asking for things, the first day is a day to ask for things in Ruchnias. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, already a person could start to make requests in Gashmias. Very important. You don't show up at Rosh Hashanah and say, give me this, give me that, Hashem, I need more money, I need more this. The first day, you're crowning Hashem over the world. You're asking Hashem for success in spiritual matters. That's part of giving glory to the kingdom. The second day of Rosh Hashanah which is the softer day of judgment, then a person can start saying, by the way, help me get the job, I need more money, I need this, I need that. But we have to be very careful not to mistakenly show up on Rosh Hashanah and start making demands. And that's what this idea is. V'hosircha Hashem. Right? When I think that everything I have is abundant, that Hashem has given me much more than I deserve, so that itself allows me to have the humility to continue to receive. But when a person feels entitled, again, you're drawing attention to yourself. When a person says, Hashem, you owe me this, Hashem says, really, you want to talk about who owes who? So let's actually get into the details of what I've done for you and what you've done for me. How have you served me? How have you rebelled against me? You want to do like that? If I show up humbly and I say, Hashem, I don't deserve anything, then Hashem says, okay, good, take what you want. Otzer matnas chinam. Otzer matnas chinam. That's what I'm calling it. The chamber house, which is matnas chinam, which is free gifts. You've never earned anything in your life. It's all chesed Hashem. But to the degree that we acknowledge that, so we open it up to get more. Yeah? It's a good question. I guess anything could be ruchnias or gashias, depending on what you're, right? I mean, that's part of what we're davening. We're saying, it's also pasuk in this week's parasha, v'charta v'chayim. I'm asking what? I want to be alive in the way that you want me to be alive. How many people heard of Weiberger the other week? No, so few people. You should go on YUTAR and listen to it. When Rav Moshe Weinberger was here and he spoke about what does it mean to really be alive? What does it mean to be alive in your Yiddishkeit? That's the pasuk in our parasha, v'charta v'chayim. Choose life, leman tichya, so that you shall live. Choose life so that you shall live. Yeah. Choose a life of Torah. So if you say, Hashem, I want the health to be able to serve you, I want to be stronger and healthier. Hashem, get rid of this annoying cold so I can be more attentive to you. Right? Not just because it bothers me physically, so then that's a different tefillah. That's a ruchnias tefillah. Yeah. I think the story goes that the king said anyone could come to the king to ask for something. So everyone comes and they're requesting this, they're requesting that. So this one guy comes before the king and he says, what do you want? And he says, nothing. What do you mean, nothing? He says, request something. He says, okay. He says, I request the opportunity to come to visit you again, to be able to speak to you again. I don't want anything more than that. That's a beautiful way to daven Rosh Hashanah. I didn't come here to collect a prize. I didn't come here to ask for, give me this or give me that. I'm in awe of the opportunity to be partners with you, Hashem, in building your kingdom. I want access to the king. I want to be lifnei Hashem. So that's all I'm asking. I want, what am I davening for? The opportunity to always feel as close to you as I feel right now on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's my request. Yeah, it's a very powerful way to frame the day. Yeah? What are you supposed to think about when the shofar is being blown? Again, I think it's this. I mean, a lot of things. You're supposed to think about a lot of things. It's the shofar of Mashiach. It's the shofar of. It's the call to tshuva. It's so many things. It's crowning the king. It's so many. Rav Sadia has a whole list of, you know, kavanas for the shofar. Not like mystical kavanas, simple kavanas. Remind yourself of a kedus yitzchak, the ram's horn. There's so many things, so many messages in the shofar. But part of the reason the shofar is a non-verbal communication is exactly what we're learning today, right? Because I don't have the words, Hashem, I don't have the words to say thank you the right way, I don't have the words to apologize the right way. I don't. So I'm just, I cry out. It's like a raw, almost animalistic scream. But it's very honest. That's what's powerful about it. Right? It comes from deep, deep within a person. But there's a lot of things to think about when you hear the shofar. Think about the shofar as the Baal Tokeya is blowing out through the shofar. So it also represents, right, that moment when Hashem vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, when Hashem took Adam HaRishon and blew him into life. That's awesome. The shofar is a blow to existence, recreation. Right? But it's not a particular thing, right? The ultimate tefillah, instrument of tefillah, because it doesn't have a particular word. Words are limiting. just physically, the way a mouth makes words, right? My tongue, my teeth are blocking different things in order to chop out these sounds, as opposed to just tkia, these raw inner bursts from the kishkas. Right now, the tefillah of the shofar. Yes. Again, the danger is, like the Zohar said, to come like a barking dog before Hashem and to say, give me this and give me that. Right. Okay, so again, a lot of it depends on what's kavana. Right? Am I davening just like a person who wants to exist? Or am I davening for a meaningful existence? Melech chafetz b'chaim. Hashem desires life. Hashem wants us to live a meaningful Jewish life. So I think that, you know, like Nate said, if davening for health, is that ruchnius or gashmius? It depends. Why do you want to be alive? What are your aspirations in life? Very simple. Like, let's keep it simple, Chavah. Like, why do you exist? What do you hope to accomplish? After 120, what do you want people to say about you? None of these are like, whoa, calm down. These are crazy questions. But these are the questions. What do you want your Judaism to look like? What does it mean to be alive? You know? I don't know. What are your goals for the coming year? More football games or more Daf Gemara? Keep it simple. What's going to be a bigger number by the end of the year? What's going to be a bigger number? How many games versus how many pages of Talmud you study? If the answer is, you know, there's going to be more games watched than pages of Talmud studied. So, okay, so make a cheshvan. Is that the tachlis of my chayim? Is that what I'm here to do?
Watching highlights count? Red Zone's like 8 games in 1.
That sounds up to us.
All right. But that's the question, Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, I want to give you life, but what are you going to do with it? Again, age appropriate. There's nothing wrong with watching a game. You can watch a game. I'm not saying, you know. But like, I don't know. What are my aspirations for the coming year? If I can't answer that question, I have to do some more thinking. What am I hoping to do? Where do I want to get to in my Judaism? What do I look like in a year from now? How about 5 years from now? 10 years from now? What's the trajectory of my life? All right. So we should be blessed to answer that question in a good way. All right. Shkach. Thank you, Hashem, for the gift of life.